Bless you. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Hey, while we're standing, let's do this. Because when we, that song, He Was Good, this room was alive. Thank you. Thank you for loving him together like that. It just meant a lot to me this morning. I was like, this is awesome. Can we just, without projecting, just lift a sincere shout to him for a little bit? I didn't feel like we were done. I felt like we could have stood there and just, for about 10 more minutes. But just, can we just thank him? Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him for forgiveness. Thank him for loving you. Thank him for never changing, for love never failing. Thank you. Oh, we thank you. Father, as we stand here before you, we thank you for being amazing. We don't even, words don't describe the beauty and magnificence of who you are. But what we understand and know is you have never failed. Your love has never failed. You've never changed. There's no turning, shifting of shadow. You loved us then. You love us now. You'll love us tomorrow. And God, you have sent your son and made things right. And we just receive it today, and we honor you for it, and we thank you for being such a living example through your son Jesus of what love looks like, of what mercy is. You're beyond hope. You are everlasting life. And we thank you for who you are. We honor you today. Would you speak to us? Would you empower us? Would you put our feet on such solid ground? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He is so good. You can grab your seats. I don't know. You guys might be in trouble because I really am amped up right now. No, I got to calm down, actually, or I won't be able to communicate. Shoo! The whole morning's been messing me up. Your leaders and servants messed me up this morning. I'm crying in the foyer. I still feel like crying. He changes our lives. It's a good cry. There's definition to tears. I tell people that a lot. I just get overwhelmed. I'm 27 years saved, and I haven't toned down at all. You get to know him more. You get to see him clearer. You get to live him and experience him if you live by faith and you don't let yourself get turned around some other way. We're in a race, people. I'm looking at an army. Like, this is amazing this morning. I'm looking at an army. There's so much influence here in Christ when we live by the Spirit. We all have spheres of influence. If you multiply the sphere of influence by the faces I'm looking at, we're covering a vast amount of people. You're not carrying some weight to change the world in a day. You're just anointed to live Christ. You're anointed to walk in love. You're anointed to make peace and show mercy. You're anointed to have an attitude that brings life, not takes life, that gives hope, not takes hope. We're all called to live this way. We're all called to walk in the light as he's in the light. All weekend, I've been sharing things and cutting away the little foxes and the little things that can keep us from just walking out what he paid for. He didn't just pay for us to be blessed, guys. He's more than a suffering savior. He's more than the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the revelation of the Father. He's the revelation of what our lives were created to be because he said, follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. We're called to love just like him. 1 John 2, if any man abides in him, he ought to walk even as he walked. It's amazing what we can live by the Spirit of God when we receive grace through faith. So don't take that lightly. Our lives are called to be transformed. We're not the same as we were. We didn't incorporate him into our life. He became our life. Come on, it's really real. Stay excited about this morning because I'm telling you, everything is out for your believer. Everything is vying for your motivation. Everything is vying for your attention. And I believe the enemy himself wants to turn the gospel, just turn the gospel into something that blesses me instead of transforms and empowers me. And if all the gospel is something that blesses you, you're probably disappointed because you don't feel as blessed as you hoped you would be. Come on. Like if you're a Christian for what God can do for you instead of how he can make you more like him, we're not going to run steadfast. We're going to live way up and down. Life's going to have a louder voice than his word. You can't, all over the country today, and I'm not being mean and sarcastic, I'm not being judgmental. I've just been to church as a young man, I've heard a lot of sermons growing up. All over the country today, there's going to be sermons that all they do is warm your heart and benefit you and protect you and hopefully provide for you without ever maybe challenging who you are, where you live from, and why you live. God's not just here to take care of us. He's here to empower us to live Christ Jesus. Are you hearing me? Yes. Not just because I'm mic'd up. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to encourage you in this today, man. We have the most amazing opportunity when we understand and become believers. Jesus fulfilled what man failed. He modeled a life that we were created to live. He'd have never said, follow me if we couldn't. And he would have never said, follow me if it wasn't the will of God for us to live what we see in Jesus. And I'm not just talking about the healings. I'm not just talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the heart of God. I'm talking about a man that did right every minute of his life and got treated wrong practically every minute of his life. Guys, some of us don't last a half a day in that situation.
Amen. Amen.
Everything he said was contested. Everything he said was twisted. And truth himself stood in front of men day in and day out. His works revealed the Father. He cried out and said, even if you don't believe me for my words, at least believe me for the work's sake that they bear witness of my Father. He was crying out for men to believe. And for 3 years he spoke and they killed him for what he said. It's kind of sobering that truth can stand in front of men for years and speak, and men are so sure of what they're sure of that they kill truth.
Wow.
It shows you how twisted things got when man fell and separated from God. It shows you the mentality that encroached into humanity, and that when every man was born into Adam, he was really born into the nature of the enemy of God. We don't talk about it enough, but there's an enemy to God. You know, the counterfeit of love is self-centeredness. The counterfeit, like the perversion, I should say the perversion of forgiveness is unforgiveness. Of love is hate. It's everything the devil is. When Adam surrendered authority, he didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy. He became separate from God, which means he became opposite of God. He got cut off from who he was. So love perverted into self-centeredness in a moment of eating a fruit in disobedience. It's pretty incredible. And when you look at your Bible, every man since that day was born into Adam, and you must be born again. Let's not just turn born again into something that blesses me, something that takes me to heaven when I die, just prepares me in case I have an accident when I leave church. I better run up and pray what the pastors pray and make sure I'm covered. Let's make sure the gospel's way more than that. The gospel is a restoration of life and purpose. It's new life through Jesus Christ. It's God putting his spirit back inside of men. It's old things passing away, and behold, all things, not some things, all things becoming new. You didn't incorporate him into your life. He became your life. And now you're one with God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So see, now offense doesn't fit. Unforgiveness doesn't fit. It doesn't fit because it doesn't live in him. It doesn't live in us. We can't just bring him into our life. He has to overtake it. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. The attitudes that are unproductive need challenged. The things that are demeaning and derogatory, that are judgmental, that are projective. We have to stop calling normal. It's not normal. It's perverted. It wasn't what God ever intended. It's everything the devil is. See, he understands that God made man in his own image and each seed after its own kind. And he wants to multiply himself till the whole earth is full of his glory. That means full of his expression. So the enemy said, let me intervene and twist this thing up and let me get my seed involved. And let me get them to become like me, and then everything they produce will look like me, and I can cover the whole earth with me. But the truth is, he's dark and God is light.
Yes, sir.
And light is greater than dark.
Amen.
But the thing is, we better believe that And we got to understand that the light's in us. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. That's what he said. He said, so let your light so shine before men. He didn't say bicker, complain, try to make it. Become something. Don't just believe something. Become something because of me. You're the light of the world. From the youngest in this room to the oldest, we're the light of the world. If you got time, if your heart's beating, you can walk in the light yet today. You say, well, I ain't been living that for 50 years, so live it for the next year. Light's greater than darkness. Darkness is never the problem. Darkness is the absence of light. Nobody ever walked into a room and saw these bright lights and said, guys, this is a little intense. Could you turn up the darkness? If the room gets dimmer, it's because somebody turned down the light, and ye are the light of the world. Your workplace isn't the problem. It's us not seeing who we are in Christ. Your supervisor isn't the issue. It's you failing to see him through Christ. I promise you, we don't have the problems that we think. We have one amazing answer, and it's living our life by the Spirit of God. This young generation isn't the problem. Let's stop cursing them. Let's start blessing them. Yes. They have so much potential. There's so much revelation on the earth. There's so much more understanding than when I was a child. There was things that are being preached now that weren't even understood when I was growing up. People are being changed and transformed today by the truth that's out there that wasn't even around, I don't believe, when I was on the earth as a young man. Things are increasing. God's up to something. Make sure you're in the race. Make sure you're not just in the service. Wow. Look, I'm smiling. I'm not being mean. That wasn't sarcastic. Amen. Just make sure you're in the race. Because you can let the service take the place of the race. You okay? I wasn't being sarcastic. It's a real good word. Because we let a lot of things take the place of knowing him and living and following him. You can let your Bible knowledge, you can let your Bible group, you can let your Bible study take the place of knowing him. Yes, sir. You can find your identity in what you do for him instead of what he does through you. Yes, he loves you. Your relationship with him is where your identity begins. And everything outside after that is the expression of that relationship. You become something in Christ and then you manifest it. And it's not hard, and it's not a labor. It's never works. It's not phony. It's not a script. It's who he is in you. And all of a sudden, you ain't trying to love. You just love because you are loved. You ain't trying to forgive. When you're trying to forgive, you're in unforgiveness. Trying to forgive isn't a noble Christian statement. Well, brother, give me time. It takes time. I'm trying to forgive. Stop. You're in unforgiveness. Why do you have such a grid for unforgiveness when you've been forgiven of everything you've ever done? Why do you talk like this then? Because these things keep us from running our race. They get us distracted, and all of a sudden the point isn't the point. You know how people say the main thing isn't the main thing. All of a sudden something matters more than what matters most. We have all been given a sphere of influence. We ought to thank God for that, not complain about that. You say, well, you don't understand the dark place I work in. Light is always brighter in the darkest places. You go in the darkest room you've ever been in, you light a match. It's ridiculous. What a match does in the darkest room. You ever, just one match. One match in a dark room. Yeah. One in Christ is the majority. You can be in a home that nobody even loves Jesus. It just takes one in Christ to hold the fabric of a home together and walk in love. Yes, yes, yes. It just takes one in Christ to begin to pursue peace and make peace and sow into peace. It takes two to tango. Yes. It takes two to fight. It takes one to pursue peace. Yes. Yes. Ain't that something? Yes. It takes two to argue. It takes one to tone down a harsh word with a kind one. This is what we're called to, people. Called to live Christ. Not being mean. What we experienced this morning was amazing. You guys keep worshiping with all your heart, man. Every time I come here, this place just humbles and overwhelms me. You guys got something beautiful going on. So I'm not saying these things because there's problems. I'm saying these things because there's so much potential. And you don't want to stumble and let these little foxes into this orchard.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
In your personal life, you don't want the little foxes taking the precious fruit that's to be hanging all over our vines. See, the Father's pleased with much fruit. Yeah, we're called to bear fruit. We're not called to be Christians. We're called to bear fruit. Not just to confess that we're Christians. We're called to bear fruit. And it says when you bear fruit, he's going to prune you so you bear more. He's really into fruit. Why? Because he made you in his image and he wants to multiply himself through your life. I promise you, every attitude we grew up with, every mindset, every emotion was not from the Lord. It was from Adam. I promise you, it's all a perversion. We've studied a fallen man and we've put on a fallen man's identity and we say, this is us. And I'm telling you, no, that's a man separate from God. Don't tell me everybody has to have their moments. You try to sell that to Jesus. You try to tell Jesus everybody has their moments. He came as a man. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Come on. He didn't take no shortcut. He was born of a woman. He laid down his glory, made himself of no reputation. In fact, he laid himself down so low that God had to anoint him. Was he still the Son of God? Yes. Is he still God? Yes. Nobody's saying he wasn't God, but he made himself of no reputation and he came as a man. Why? To fulfill what man failed. He took the low road and humbled himself and paid what only he could pay and shed his blood to get us back on track. I mean, it says in Acts 10 that God had to anoint Jesus. If he came as God, he wouldn't need anointed. That's so we can follow him because we need anointed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We get water baptized. Holy Spirit comes upon us and anoints us. Now we can follow him. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. Following Jesus means when you see me, you should get a real good glimpse of the Father.
That's good.
It's been a prayer of mine my whole Christian life. God, please, when people meet me, see me, talk to me, please let them see who you are through my life, through my expression, through my countenance, through my eyes. God, would you love people and make yourself known through my life? What an honor that I can carry you and live in you and manifest you. I don't want anything else. Every day is taking me to that day where I'm going to stand before him and answer for what I've done with this amazing gospel. And faith gets that. And all I could do is give myself to that or get tripped up and trapped. And well, you know, I feel, but they said, but you don't know what I've been through. When I went to that church, they, and you know what bothers me about pastors? They just always, and you know, ministry just, and then, and now you got some pale, frail excuse for not manifesting Christ. And you're letting everything matter more than what matters most. And you've let people decide who you are instead of him. Why would you let the weakness in men produce weakness in you? Why don't you come overcome evil with good?
Yes. Amen.
Just cover a multitude of sin with love and stop trying to figure it all out and just live what you know and understand. Christ, he's in me. I'm going to walk in love. Nobody owes me a thing. I'm going to walk in the light, period. Don't care how dark it is. Don't care who cares, who doesn't care. I care and I'm going to live Jesus, period. It's going to touch somebody and it's going to make a difference. And I ain't. You say that ain't a word. Well, I ain't going to grow weary in doing good. I ain't backing off. I ain't giving up. I ain't quitting. Why? Because my life is not my own. I denied myself. I picked up my cross and I'm following Jesus. I'm not just singing to him. I'm not just praying to him because I'm overwhelmed. I'm not just worried and antsy. No. I'm following Jesus. Well, you can't. Well, not everybody. Well, that was the Lord. Well, stop. I don't even have time to listen to that. I'm following him because he said so. He rules in my life. Well, yeah, but Jesus, some things, brother, stop. Where did you even get that? Because you didn't get that from him. The yell buts. Don't you believe them. Don't you let people talk you out of this gospel. Don't you get tricked into just being a confessing Christian. You grow up into him in all things. You get Christ formed in you. Paul said, I labor like a woman having a baby till Christ is formed in you. He wasn't trying to get decisions. He was trying to get Christ in people so he could come out and get more people. Come on. If we were just waiting for heaven, why would we not grow weary in well-doing? What are we called to do? Why are we in a race? What? Hebrews 10 says, verse 35, don't throw away your confidence. It has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Uh-oh. What do I need to endure? You have need of endurance so that after the will of God is done, you can receive the promise. What's he saying? You'll never walk out what he paid for, what he created you for, and what he called you to without enduring. That means there's trials, and that means there's purpose. That means you have to take purpose and taxi through every trial. Keep your eye on the prize and live for that day. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Guys, I'm not pulling any punches this morning. I feel aggressive, and I hope you understand. And no, listen. When we get to that day, it's just going to be two seas of people. Not those who prayed the prayer and who didn't pray the prayer. Those who went to church and didn't go to church. It's those who believed and didn't believe. And if you believed, you laid down your life and you loved other people, you touched people and you gave up what was your own for the sake of others to help them along. And when you did it to the least of them, you did it unto him. If you don't believe, you were self-centered, self-focused, you were an island unto yourself. You might have went to church, you might even went on a mission trip. You might even gave to support a mission trip at some time, and you let that believe you were a Christian, but you didn't see the needs, you didn't go outside of yourself. You were hurt, you were offended, and you're standing before God with all that stuff. There's two seas of people in your Bible. People that believe and people that don't. And the life you live reveals which sea you're in. It doesn't get any simpler than that. You know them by their fruit, and we'll all stand before Christ and be judged for the things we've done, whether good or bad. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by his grace. But his grace is designed to empower your heart to good works. Ephesians says, you're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, then for good works. What's first?
His workmanship. He's been working on me. He put his life inside of me. He washed me clean. He forgave me. He had a little tarp over me. He was in there working on me. And then he said, ta-da. And he said, I made you what I created you to be. Now for good works, which were predestined beforehand that we should walk in them.
What's first? My identity in Christ. What's second? The expression of that identity. It's walking in love, making disciples and bearing much fruit and all that good stuff.
Come on, this thing isn't complicated.
One of the biggest snares and one of the biggest traps in folks is not understanding the importance and what it actually means to deny yourself. To never look back and not regard your past, to only live in a present and things to come. Some of the biggest mistakes, when your past still has a voice, when it's still important, when yesterday's sins and the sins against you still matter, when you're holding on to the stories of yesterday, then you make yourself a sitting duck and target for 1,000 other voices. You become vulnerable and you usually submit. But all you have is a present and things to come, and you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you don't look back because you're not Lot's wife, you're his bride, and you ain't going to be stuck between two points. You are going to run this race where there are prizes. I'm telling you, you will run well. You keep your eyes fixed on him. You don't even know nothing about back then. He put it in the sea of forgetfulness. It's a covenant he made, and he'll remember your lawless deeds no more. I'm telling you, when he says you're clean, you're clean. Your place is to believe it. Well, I don't feel. It's not about feelings. It's about believing. It's about honoring his word. See, we've been tricked to live sensual our whole lives in the fall of man. Sensual. Man went from living by the spirit and living by faith. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Get real with me. Adam and Eve are standing there naked, and they had no idea they were naked. Why? They were clothed with innocence. Everybody says they were so full of the glory of God, you couldn't see their naked parts. No, they didn't even know evil. They had no knowledge of nothing. There wasn't no lust on the planet. Adam wasn't like Grill and Eve. They were innocent. They were clothed with innocence. They couldn't see themselves apart from him. And as soon as he ate the fruit, they saw they were naked. And for the first time, man saw himself apart from him. And everything twisted and perverted. And we were born into that mess, and we call it normal.
Yeah.
And we grow up in it. We exercise it, we're trained by it, we're taught by it. We've been homeschooled in the wrong home our whole lives till we come to Christ. Then after we come to Christ, we don't hear a clear enough message to get us out of that mess. We just bring him into our life in hopes of a better one, but we're still stuck in the same understanding. But the Bible says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, put off all these things and put on Christ. Why? Because I never got, well, yeah, but brother, God gave us emotions, not the emotions you grew up with. No, 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 no. They're perverted. They flow out of a self-centered wellspring. Nobody had to teach you to get angry. It came by instinct. You didn't stay up late and study to be proud, disappointed, frustrated. You didn't have to master any of those things. They came natural by instinct through the fall of man, through the nature of God's enemy. There's two places in your Bible in the New Testament that says if you exercise faith, the consummation of that faith and the end result and reason and purpose of that faith is the salvation of your soul. Why is faith such a gift? It keeps you from living sensual. It keeps you from living by feelings and emotions and memories and flashbacks and dreams. And all of a sudden you can live by truth, and truth will make you free. You say, yeah, but I don't feel love. Stop it. You say you believe he hung on the cross. You say you believe God sent his son. That's I love you. You don't have to feel love. You have to believe love. Yeah. See, we just got so gushy and emotional and feely. Every sign follows the believer, not the feeler. Amen. Well, I'm just trying to get an experience with God's love. Start believing he loves you. Start thanking him for loving you. Let your heart get understanding. Let grace go boom in your heart. And you go, whoa, he loves me. You see what's wrong with me? He loves me. I can't, no, it ain't no tone down. It ain't all that, brother. You're wrong. I'm being called. It's joy inexpressible. Joy inexpressible. What's that look like? That would offend the church. Joy inexpressible would have to get projected on.
It ain't all that. They're just looking for attention. I can't stand the way they come and just draw attention to themselves.
Joy inexpressible. I've never seen it on a Christian. I've rarely seen joy on a Christian. Let alone joy inexpressible. Good tidings of great joy. It's the message that brings joy, not the circumstances. It's the message. It's the truth that illuminates your heart when you wrap belief around it. And you believe that he values you that much. When you believe you have that much potential. When you believe you're that clean, that forgiven, that empowered. Yeah? You're out of your mind. No, I'm out of yours. Yeah? It's amazing how even Christians contest the clear message of Jesus Christ. It's like we almost want to stay in this place that's known to us. No, it's time to be very uncomfortable. That's why he sent the Comforter. So you take risks and live out there in that place of believing. That place where you believe, yes, he will. He did it to me. He'll do it through me. Yes, he will. He'll show up. I'm going to speak up. He'll show up. I'm going to stretch forth my hand and pray. He'll be there. I'm going to impart life. Life will follow. Come on, guys. But if you're offended, you ain't shining. If you're discouraged, you ain't shining. If you're frustrated, you ain't shining. If you're self-centered, self-focused, and caught up with your circumstances, you are not shining. If all you do is worry, you ain't shining. Yes, sir. Wow. Preaching good, eh? Yeah. No, I feel it. I feel it. It's God cheering us on as a people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is what he paid for. Come on, thank God he don't take us back and say, this thing ain't doing what I paid for. You buy a product and it ain't working, you taking it back. You want your money. You even trying to get a little extra because gas is up and all that. And if they don't give you what you paid for, you got an attorney in the wings or something, because you're getting your money. Man, I read the manufacturer's handbook, and I see what he made the product for. See, you don't put metal in a microwave. You better read that book, man. You know, we just plug it in. We don't read nothing. All of a sudden, you got a little aluminum foil around that potato, and you didn't even think about it. You hit that button. Wah! You ever do it? Woo! And you find out quick that microwave was not made for metal. It's a messed up reaction. But guess what happens if you keep hitting that button and keep hitting that button? You're going to ruin the product. Why? It wasn't made for metal. You keep living for yourself, you're ruining the product. You keep living for yourself. You keep living in unbelief. You keep living in self-centeredness. You keep living in anger and frustration. You keep living in rightness and tit for tat. And he said, she said, you're going to ruin the product because you were never made for any of that. And it's been sold to us as normal. Well, that's just the way we are. It's amazing. He loves us.
Come on. Yeah.
You better believe he loves us, but he created us for so much more. Come on, he gave us new life for Jesus, through Jesus Christ. What does that mean, new life? He didn't just sustain life, he gave us new life. Old things are dead. Boy, I wish that was true. Scripture says it, but man, I wish that was our reality. You know, Satan pops off to in Job's story to God. He pops off, he's so arrogant. God says, Job, there ain't nobody like him on the earth. He's righteous in my sight. There ain't a man like him on the earth. Satan quips right back to God. Job, ain't no man like him? Come on, man. You hedged him in. You made him fat in the land. You blessed him on every side. The dude's got blessing going everywhere he looks. You made him fat in the land. No wonder he blesses you. You bless him. You take away the blessings, you'll see he'll curse you to your face just like everybody else in this church. You know people don't love you. They need you. They bless you when you bless them. When you don't bless them, they complain. They judge you. They wonder where you've been, why you didn't answer. They try to hold you to your word. With attitude. And reveal that we've never even stepped into a covenant. All that is mine is yours. We've never stepped into a one plus one is a stronger one. We've never become a unit. At best, we've become a contract. Make sure you're not. Make sure you don't make the devil right. He said in the last section when he talked to him, he said, did you see that Job hasn't cursed me? You said he cursed me, he hasn't cursed me. He said, come on, man, skin for skin. A man. He got you so figured out. He's sure. He's so arrogant. He got you so figured out. He could care less about our worship service this morning. He cares if you walk in love. He cares if you show mercy and make peace. He cares if you tone down a harsh word today with a kind word rather than react. Gets his attention. He don't care how long we worship. He don't care how many's in the gathering. He cares when your life starts looking like the one he can't beat. He said skin for skin. A man will do anything to save his own life. And you know what? Most of the time he's right. You better make sure he ain't in your life. You better make sure you surrendered, that you ain't living in the fear of death. You ain't just driven by human sentiments. You just ain't one of these Christians and all you're believing for is protection. And if one thing goes wrong, you fall apart and lose your disposition. I understand loss is real. Believe me, you see the color of my hair? I've lost people. I've been on the earth long enough to lose people. Loss is real. You're never overcome by it, and it's never dominant.
Yes.
And you never grieve as if you have no hope, because you have more than hope.
Yes.
You have the blood of Jesus Christ that has preserved life,
yes,
for all eternity. So run well,
yes,
in the face of loss. Yeah?
Yeah.
You see my smile? It's for real. You see the color of my hair? I've lost folks. The smile's real. Because the truth makes you free. Yeah. Man, 11:11, I never ask you what time. No, and don't say, just tell me the truth. Don't you lie to me, Pastor, Revelation's 19. It just says you lie, you fry. I'll save you time. What time do you normally wrap up? What's a general wrap up? Because you got servants, people, you got children care, you got all this stuff. We ain't blowing nothing up. I'd say that 5:00 we have another service at 12:30. Are you serious? Do you guys go to noon or is it earlier? I don't even believe Pastor. I just know he loves me and I figured he's going to try to buy a little time. Give me a little time. Yeah. For a while. Yeah. You guys okay? Yeah, because I said enough. I said enough that we could all go just fight a good fight. Do you understand your fight is never people? Your fight is never the devil. Your fight is faith. Your fight is maintaining faith in the midst of everything that's trying to cancel it and change it and change your mind. You fight the good fight of faith. Everything's after your faith. There's a lot of things vying for your believer. The enemy, he's seeking, he's roaming like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. He's looking for vulnerability, access, holes. He's watching your character. He's listening to your conversations. He's got little assignments all around. I'm telling you, there's things that tracked us from little kids. Who's ever saw the dark things in your room growing up? Who's ever saw the shadows in the corner? Who's ever seen this stuff? There's just stuff that used to own us, dictate us, and had strategies, and then Jesus delivers us and saves us. They don't just pack their bags and leave. They hang around and they look for loopholes. He's roaming like a roaring lion, just seeking who he can devour. And he says, you resist him standing steadfast in the faith. In other words, you don't lose sight of who you are now that he came, the Lord, and you maintain that identity in the midst of all conflict. That's your resisting of the devil. It ain't shouting at him. It ain't rebuking him. It ain't pleading the blood and walking the floor all night long. I know we teach that stuff, but I'm telling you, that ain't what it is. I've seen people get tired and they get deceived doing that stuff because the thoughts don't leave. The thoughts aren't going to leave unless you crush them with truth. Yes. Who's ever had trouble with thoughts? Who's ever had stuff, just crazy stuff, out of the blue? You is thinking good. Things are rolling good. You in love with Jesus. Woohoo! I mean, it's just a happy day, man. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, where did that come from? But it comes and it tries to catch you off guard. You're on the way to work. That thing you tried to forget that you did a year ago that you couldn't even believe you did, that you believed finally God forgave you. Now it's in your head replaying. And that same dirty feeling, that same defiled thought, that greatness try to creep over on you. And if you don't understand what's happening, you'll make a bigger mistake. You'll call a friend on the cell phone and ask them for prayer because you'll think if the feeling goes away, if the thought goes away, that's freedom. No, when you stop believing the thought, that's freedom. In that situation, you don't need prayer. You need truth. Who wants to help me? Can I have a volunteer? I need a volunteer to come up here and sit. Just sit right here. Can I have a volunteer? Just one bold volunteer. Run out. Oh, come on, my man. Woo! What's your name?
JD.
JD. Give him a shout. Come on, JD. Okay. Now look at this man. You can tell he's a man of God. Can you see it? Look at that, man. Ain't nobody looking like that if he ain't knowing Jesus, right? So JD's knowing Jesus. That's a threat to the devil. The devil don't like that. JD's hearing the word. Satan comes for the word's sake, not JD's sake. He could care less about JD. He cares about the potential of the kingdom in JD. If there was no promise of the kingdom, he wouldn't even care about him. Wow. Because apart from Christ, the devil's in a different category than us. He'll tear you up without Jesus. But behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all his power. And nothing by any means, JD, shall harm you. That's Jesus. Right. Woohoo! But even in that, our fight isn't the devil. It's maintaining healthy faith. So here's what the devil does. This is his thought thing. I'm going to try to help you. I'm going to act this out. So, JD, you just sit there. I don't know. Act like you're studying at your desk, driving a car, whatever you want to do, man. Sitting in your bedroom, just reading your Bible. I don't care, man. Yeah, you better get out the car because we don't want you wrecked. But we want you to just sit on your bed and read your Bible. So he's here. This will make it good. Watch this. Oh, this is good. This Holy Spirit helping me. Watch. So he is reading his Bible. He's doing a Jesus thing. He's got worship right over here playing. And he was just feeling the tangible presence of his God.
Sounds good, don't it?
So watch this. So he's sitting there now. You just forget me. You just be over there with Jesus. So Satan's over. He's watching JD. He's like, man, this ain't good. This guy's growing. Man, we crucified Jesus. This man's stepping into the salvation God used us to help open the door to pay for. I got to keep this man. I don't care that he goes to church, but this personal stuff, this intimate stuff, if he starts believing this stuff, come here. Yeah, boss. Listen. I need you to get over there to that guy, man. He's starting to concern me. Like his countenance is changing. His speech is changing. Man, I hate to say it, but I see his heart changing. I want you to... Oh, boss. Yeah. So he's coming over. JD's praying, he's reading his Bible. You think, you know, we get all theological, like this thing can't be there when God's there. Well, how'd he go to heaven and be talking to God about Job? And who's ever had an off-the-wall thought in the middle of something totally awesome in God in a service and worship? Yeah. So forget I'm back here now. We're going to act this out. You're going to help me, JD. So look at him. He's doing it, man. This thing comes up. And out of the blue, it's a thought form. He don't hear it out here. He hears it in the thought. And this thing says, hey, JD, come on, man. That can't really matter. That can't be true. I mean, come on, man. Remember like 6, 7 years ago and you know, what do you think? What's really changed? When you look at now and you just think back, I mean, come on, man, it ain't all that. Don't you over-exaggerate this thing. It ain't like that. You're taking this too serious, man. Everybody ever have stuff like this? You know you ain't changing. You ain't, life really ain't nothing. What's different? I mean, how can you tell me that 6, 7 years ago and all of a sudden that don't matter and now it's all new and different and... Who's ever had this stuff? So JD's got options right now. Hopefully only one. But here's what he could do. He could just start graying out and keep listening. He could start praying as if he's that person he's remembering. He could start saying, God, man, I just pray that you have mercy on me. And I just trust you forgave me, God. And I hope you forgive me, Lord. And man, you know, I don't even know why I'm thinking this stuff. I didn't think it was still in me, Lord. And I just, you know, and all of a sudden he thinks, I better call Bobby because he's a prayer warrior. Or guess what he can do? He can act like he never heard that thing. He can keep on reading, and what he's reading is awesome. It's ministering to his heart. And he can say, Father, I just thank you for the transformation of my life. Father, I just thank you that you saved me, that you set me free. Father, I thank you that I'm clean in your presence. You made me a brand new man. I don't have a yesterday. I have a present and things to come. And I'm on a journey, and I'm going to reach the destiny because you're faithful and your life is in me. And God, I thank you for every ounce of wisdom you placed in my heart. And Holy Spirit, I appreciate you being the leader of my life. And all of a sudden, because of the voice, he's having a deeper time in God. And now it's coming even more alive. And all of a sudden his hands is raising. He's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Presence of God's coming. And this thing's getting hot, man. He's like, whoa! What just happened? He submitted to God. He's resisting the devil. And the devil will flee. He's not resisting the devil. He's submitting to God. The submitting to God is resisting the devil. So then the devil goes back to the boss. He says, boss. He says, did you do it? Did you tell him? Boss, I told him. Boss, I promise. I told him every word you said. What? Well, what happened? Boss, you ain't gonna believe it. Boss, you ain't gonna believe it. I was telling him, and this guy, he started to worship. Like he started to worship God. You fool.
You couldn't have told him what I told you. Because when you talk like that to Christians, they get grayed out, discouraged, depressed, and call for prayer. Not this one, boss. Boss, I think this one is a believer. Thank you, JD. Thank you, my man. The weapon of your warfare is mighty in the breaking down of stronghold. A stronghold is a wrong belief that gets set in your mind. The weapon of your warfare is mighty in the breaking down of stronghold, casting down every thought, every imagination that rises above the knowledge of God, bringing it to obedience and holding it captive, or holding it, bringing it into obedience and holding it captive according to Christ. What's the weapon of your warfare? Truth in the face of every lie. Truth in the face of every lie. I promise you, we don't need prayer like we think we need prayer. Right. We've become a ministry-crazed people if we're not careful, instead of a truth-filled, word-believing people. Prayer is important. It has its place. Praying for the nations, authorities, people, praying over your families. It's all important. I'm not putting down prayer. There's some places it's not a prayer issue. It's a truth issue. Yeah. I never saw a scripture that said ministry will make you free or prayer will make you free. But I did find where truth will make you free. Yeah. We are not trying to feel better. We are needing to believe different. There's a lot of ministries focused on making people feel better, making the ugly go away, making the memory disappear. I'm not threatened by the memory. I'm threatened by believing the memory. If you speak something to me from my past, I will absolutely, well, he doesn't even do that to me. That would be silly. Because I so know who I am and that I'm free and that I'm forgiven. If he would do that to me, it would just turn into more of him. I would just affirm truth. Yeah? The reason he works this way with so many people is because they've left at work and he gains momentum and it's like a punch-drunk fighter and all of a sudden the other guy finds energy he didn't have and he keeps going for the knockout. So if you give someone an inch, it tries to take a mouse. You believe some wrong thoughts. Now more thoughts come and even more thoughts come. And now your mind is bombarded. Next thing you know, you just think you have a devil or you got mind issues. And you're seeking prayer, 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 prayer. And you're waiting for it to all go away instead of seeing what's really happening. It's thoughts and imaginations rising above the knowledge of God. The reason it bothers you is because you're pure inside and you're not what you're remembering.
Yes.
The reason it makes you feel bad is because it's not you. You're not using it. You're not dredging it up. You're not thinking it. It's an assignment to get you to believe wrong and put on a false identity and wear something you don't look good in. Are you with me? The second thing that I see hinder people so much is just regarding their past so much. I asked the Lord a long time ago, why do people just talk about their past all the time? Write books about their past with no story of redemption in the last chapter. Just this is what I've been through. He said, Dan, it's the only place they've ever found any sense of identity, whether good or bad. So they hold on to it. So you think your story is you. And the truth is his story is you. My buddy Todd, if you know my buddy Todd called me way back and he didn't call me. He came to the church the first time. This happened the first time I met him. And he was trying to tell me all the bad and ugly of his life. I mean, how much do you need to hear of 22 years of drug addiction? You get it. I don't need to hear every horror story. So he told me like two horror stories and he's trying to tell me six more. And I'm cutting him off and trying to tell him the answer. And he said, dude, and he got a little stern. He said, you're not even listening to me, man. You're not even listening to me. You're not listening to where I've been. You're not listening to what I've done. Right. And I don't even say the word, dude. He brought that into my vocabulary. But I leaned in and I said, dude, you're not listening to me and where he's been and where he's done. And here's the problem. I said, you think where you've been and what you've done is who you are. But where he's been and what he's done is the real you. And I suggest you listen. And I don't know why it was so powerful in that moment. But he sat back and you could see God hit him and he just started crying. And he said, okay, man, okay. And it's just in the moment, God knows how to reach people.
You could say that to somebody and they're like, whatever, and argue with you. I said it to him in the right moment by the Spirit of God. What was he doing? Identifying himself through his life. Don't we get tricked doing it all the time? Identifying our value through the life we remember. The value that people suggested we have. Watch this. You get rejected by a parent and you think you're not valuable. You think you don't even realize it's a reflection on your parent, because if your parent was filled with the Holy Ghost, they'd have loved you like Jesus. You're not even realizing it's dysfunction. So you're letting their dysfunction produce dysfunction, and it keeps breeding and generations get swallowed up. Well, yeah, but you don't know my upbringing. Don't need to. I need to know your faith in Christ. I need to know your new life through Jesus. I'm not being insensitive. Listen, my dad was an alcoholic. I've never heard my dad say, I love you. My mother died of 40 years of sickness. I changed her diapers when I was a kid. Babysitter did something they shouldn't do when I was around 4. It's hazy. I don't really remember it. But a lot of stuff, guys, none of that has to do with the man you're looking at. What does any of that have to do with Jesus dying on the cross and putting his life inside of me? I'm not going to say, well, yeah, but I never had a dad growing up. No, I had a father the whole time. I just didn't know it. But now that I know it, what does that matter? And all of a sudden I realized my father didn't have a capacity, and I'm trying to drink from a dry cup. If you drink from a dry cup, of course you're thirsty. So maybe somebody needs to come along and say, hey, if you'd ask me, I'd give you a drink. And if you take one drink from me, you ain't never going to be thirsty again. Okay, give me that drink. So I drank that drink. It's talking about your identity. I ain't been thirsty since. I ain't never looked back. I'm not a hurting son trapped inside a man's body. I don't need prayer, ministry, inner healing, deliverance. He has delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of the Son of his love through faith. I believe it. And you ain't talking me out of it. And I walk in the strength of it. And I have the ability to love my dad. I have the ability to have compassion on people. I'm not hurt over my mother's death. I'm thankful that she was a beautiful Christian woman. I'm sad it was hard to watch her suffer like she did, but I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus, and my mama is more than okay. So this little brief moment of what she went through is nothing compared to the eternal weight and the everlasting glory that she's experiencing through the compassion and love and majesty of my God. But people that don't understand that and covet their mother at the cost of God are mad at God because their mother died. And you're being deceived by the devil. And you're taking life personal, and life came from him. Don't turn on him. He ain't never changed his mind about you. He's good, and he's the only one good. And through him, we can walk in some good stuff. Are you all with me? It's 11:29. Can I do one more little scripture? I want to show you this. This is going to help people. Are you all right? You can take more, right? No, you're all right. You can tell I ain't mad at you, right? Cheering you on. This is a family meeting, man. We're like, come on, we can live this thing. This is like, woo! Yeah. This ain't no spanking. You know, people come up to me and say, boy, you stepped on my toes. I said, that's unfortunate. I wasn't even trying. I'm just trying to tell you who you are. Just telling you who you are. God, you're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. Let me find this here quick. And if you want to, you can go there when I find it. God, you're good. You're good. You're good. Okay. I found it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul's dealing with sectarianism here. And it's people saying, I'm of Matt. I'm of Dan. Oh, you ought to hear my pastor. Oh, you think your worship is good? You ought to hear ours. You know who I was baptized by? No way. Yeah. I mean, I was baptized 3 other times. I just did it because I wanted, you know, it just... He's just talking about sectarianism and favoring, and I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter. And he's warning them to, man, we're all working together. He's saying, Apollos watered, God gives the increase, you know. He's saying, neither he who plants and he who waters is anything, but it's God who gives the increase, right? So he's trying to explain all this. And he gets down here,
And he says in verse 19, well, he says in verse 18, I love this. He says, let no one deceive himself. Wow. Let no one deceive himself. If anybody among you seems wise in this age. Wow. If anybody thinks they're wise in this age. That's intense. Let him become a fool so he can really be wise. In other words, the spirit and wisdom of this world and wise in this age, it's the philosophy of life. It's the traditions of men. It's what we're never, ever to live by. It actually cheats us and deceives us in Colossians 2. It's the way of the world. It's a different wisdom. And it's deceived to believe it's right. That's why I said earlier with passion, we've studied a fallen man and we think it's us. We think by a certain age this, and we studied the body and this, and we're going to this, and we buy into it. And we pray all along the way, but we're expecting it to happen because we're so full of knowledge. God didn't make Adam in him the way we've experienced through life, aging and all the stuff. All that stuff out there, I don't have a minute for it. Never studied it, never looked at it, don't even have time for it, and won't even care about it. I think we bring stuff on because we expect it. We accept it. We say, well, I ain't any younger. Well, you know, I did that hard job. Well, you know, I did this my whole life. Well, it's because of this and this and this. And natural knowledge is accepting our situations. And then we're trying to bring God in to change that. We studied a fallen man. I was in a place where it's so high. I was going to jog. I haven't been running that much lately just because of my schedule, but I used to run. I ran for 20 some years regular. And I'm in a place in New Mexico and they said, oh my gosh, you can't run here. And I said, what do you mean? They said, you just got here. You can't run here. And I'm thinking it was a law, like you can't run. And I'm like, what? I never heard of that. Like you can't run? They said, no, you're from Pennsylvania. Do you realize you're at such and such 1,000 feet? It would take you 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks to adjust to this to where you could even think about running. And I'm like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like you read too many books. You're not reading the right book. Like I don't even have time for that. Like that's foolishness to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I said, guys, I'm sorry. I don't want to demean you. But listen, I'll be totally fine running, okay? I didn't explain. I didn't come off hypo-spiritual.
Well, you don't understand. I'm in a covenant. You guys need to get with it. You're leaders in your church, and you're bound with deception.
No, they were caring about me. They were sincere. They were kind of like a mama and a papa. They could have been my mom and pop their ages. And they were just concerned. And I said, listen, I'm going to run, okay? No. They were like adamant, no way. So I had to plea bargain with him. I said, listen, because I would run fast. And I said, listen, I'll just chug the first half mile or so or mile and just make sure that I know I'm good for your sake. And when I realize I'm good, I'm just going to run my run. Well, I mean, they were concerned. They were convinced I couldn't do this because I was so high up. I took off. I ran their daughter's course. She must run like 9, 10 minute miles or something. Because I ran her course and it wasn't as long as I usually run. So psychologically, I'm running a shorter course. I'm going to float, man. I'm going, right? So I chugged for a while just because I told him I would. I was keeping my word, but I didn't keep it for long. I just kept it till my conscience was okay. I got out there close to a half mile. I don't even know if I was at a half mile. And I was like, now this is becoming silly. So I just took off, ran my whole thing. I got to the house. And when I got to the house, they didn't realize how fast I run. They said, we are so glad you had the wisdom to turn around and come back. I ran that thing so fast and never even knew nothing. It's just stuff like that I'm telling you about. See, God made us to subdue, not be subdued. Yes. Wow. Vulnerability is fear. Yes. You have no authority over what you fear. You just have scriptural principles, but no authority. Yes. Yes. When you believe all this natural stuff and it makes you vulnerable, then you step out of subduing and you step out of authority. Vulnerability is fear. People are afraid of the world they live in.
and he's the Lord. Are you hearing me? I gotta be a little careful on that topic. I don't talk about it much. I don't even talk about the way I live from the pulpit because I don't want people that respect me to try to live the way I live. I want them to see what I see. So I just preach a lot of stuff without going into a lot of detail. But I'm 60 years old. My life has been pretty blessed and amazing. But I don't have time for being wise in this age. I want to be wise in Christ. Are you with me? Okay. Holy Spirit's being gracious now because I got just kind of wandering. I'll give you an example. You read an article, this preservative and this preservative has found it's the dominant reason for 98% of the cancers on the earth. Fair enough example? You read that, and then you read the list of what the foods this preservative is found in. And when you read the list, your heart gets a little funny because you realize you've been eating 9 out of 10 of those products most of your life. And then at the next altar call, guess what you do? You go up and say something like this. I was just wondering if you could just like, I mean, I'm okay and everything. Just pray like a cleansing. Just pray that God just washed through me. Just that, you know, just stuff. I don't know. I just want to know that I'm good. And you're like, huh? Well, just pray that I just be cleansed and washed. And well, the truth is, I've read this article in these preservatives, and I'm asking, see, that's vulnerability. You're already afraid. See, here's the answer. When you read the article, I wouldn't even read the article.
Right.
I could care less. I'd rather read the Bible. Yeah. I'm not even going to read the article. But if you read the article and get tricked into reading the article, then what you do is you go, wow, what would I do without covenant with you?
Yeah.
Without the shed blood of your son, Jesus, Father. What would I do without that mighty Holy Ghost on the inside? I'd probably be on this list. My goodness, thank you for the sanctification of my life. Thank you that I'm in the world and not of the world. My goodness. And not tempting the Lord and not being arrogant. If I'm having toasted cheese, y'all eat that in Missouri, toasted cheese with tomato soup, something about that combination. Woo, Jesus. And all of a sudden, I crack open the tomato juice and that thing was on that list. See, I would just be like, thank you, Jesus. Because I'm not living by that list. I've been eating my whole life. Thank you, Jesus. All things are good when received with thanksgiving, not fear. We live in mass population. They do things to preserve things and keep things. And all of a sudden, we're freaked out and afraid. I think covenant. Why did he say in Mark 16, one of the signs of a believer, they'll eat a deadly thing and it won't even harm them? That doesn't mean you're taking cyanide and tempting God. I'm going to show to you I'm in covenant. No, it's this kind of stuff. Okay. I hope I gave you a good example. Okay, so Paul says, anybody's wise in this age, let him become a fool so he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world, you ought to get this, is foolishness with God. It's like, what are you talking about? What are you thinking about? And we're sure we know. And he's like, huh? Watch this. He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they're futile. I mean, he's making the wisdom of this world zero, guys. Therefore, let no one boast in men. Now he says something amazing and shifts spiritual. Watch this. This is an amazing phrase. For all things are yours. Whether it's your teachers, it's Paul, Apollos, Cephas, whether it's the world. He's saying, I gave you the world to have dominion and subdue, not to be afraid and survive. I've given you the world, whether life or who has the power of death now? Who has the keys? Yeah. Jesus. Who did he tell to even raise the dead? Isn't it amazing how we fear death? Isn't it amazing how the fear of death is the motive in a lot of our prayers instead of the promise of life and fulfilling God's will? He gave you all things, whether your teachers, whether the world, whether life, whether death, whether things present, whether things to come, all are yours. Pretty cool list. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Okay, Let's talk about what's not on that list. He said, you got life, power over life, death, the world, you got the present, you got the things to come. So when you look at the list and look what could else be on the list that has it, when you say past, present, future, he just says present, future. Why isn't it past, present, future? Because you don't have the past. The past isn't yours. He bought that out with his blood. That's his. And he put that down some tube into a sea called forgetfulness. And he remembers it no more. The past isn't yours. All things are yours, but some things are his. The past is his. He bought it out so he can make you new. Now watch this. Go to Romans 8. Everybody loves this stuff. They put it in frames and hang it on their refrigerators. But man, we ought to get what it's saying and believe it. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword? Honestly, most of those things on that list get people to question God's love. Paul's trying to make a point to us. Listen, none of this stuff separates us from his love. This stuff is no challenge to his love. His love is revealed through Christ crucified. We're all going through stuff. And if we're all going through stuff, we can't let this stuff challenge God's love if faith works through love. Are you with me? So this sounds triumphant, but we better make sure we understand and believe it. And that the tribulation and distress and persecution and famine doesn't separate us from God's love. Well, I thought you loved me. You get laid off and have a car wreck in the same week. And the average Christian says, man, I thought God loved me. I don't know why he's letting all this stuff happen to me at the same time. As it's written, all day long we're killed for your sake, accounted for sheep as a slaughter, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things we're more than conquerors. Why? Because we already won. We have life forever. We're building treasures for heaven. We're going through these things. Persecution, are you kidding me? How are you going to persecute my reality in God, my relationship, the voice of God in my life, and the presence of God in my life? How can you persecute me when I'm walking in God reality and have a relationship? How can persecution change me knowing him? That's why you better know him. Yet all these things were more than conquerors. Now watch this, and I'm done. It's 11:43. I'll be on time. This will be good. For I am persuaded, Paul's persuaded, fully convinced that neither death, listen to this list. This list is a little deeper and more extensive. I'm persuaded neither death, neither life, neither angels, principalities, powers, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, that's all inclusive, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's persuaded. Okay, so what's this? This is a deeper list, but do you see some familiar things on the list? The present and things to come. So what's not on that list? Why? Because you considering the past has the total ability to separate you from receiving his love. Well, if God loved me, then why'd he let? And if God loved me, then why my mom? Well, how come I have God? Wow. When you consider your past, it can totally separate you from the love of God. You don't have a past. You have a present, and you have things to come. And you have to realize that if you're ever going to run your race with endurance, worthy of a prize. If you're ever going to bear fruit unto the King, if you're ever going to store treasures in heaven, you better make sure you're dead to that and alive to Him. And it kind of looks like this. Father, I get it now. You made my life brand new. Honestly, it would have been great if my dad was home and wasn't an alcoholic and we did a bunch of stuff and had a ton of memories of baseball, basketball, just hanging out, swimming, doing stuff together. I mean, that would have probably been awesome, but you know what? I'm like lacking nothing. I don't have time to make up for. I don't have no lost childhood thing going on. Man, if he knew who he was, he'd have been different. Thank you today for teaching me who I am so I don't follow that path. God, I love my dad. I forgive my dad. And I just thank you for touching his life, changing his life, and blessing his life in this season. But God, most of all, I thank you for new life through Jesus Christ. I am so excited to live in you. I thank you that I'm free. I thank you that I'm equipped and I'm ready.
to walk in the light. I'm lacking no good thing, and ain't nobody owes me a thing. I'm telling you, that's where I live, that's how I pray, and that's where I'm inviting you into today. Now, here's the raw truth. You can believe whatever you want, and that's what it comes down to. What do you believe? What do you really want to believe? And I pray that if we don't really care about what I'm saying, that God himself will begin to put a desire and a care inside of you. If you're not convicted by these things, I just pray that God will begin to minister to you and father you and lead you to a place of understanding and transformation. But if you do desire what I'm saying, it's not pressure. We're not running the risk of failing. We're privileged to become because we're living by his grace. So step by step, we're drawing closer to him. Step by step, we're walking out Christ. When we're betrayed, nobody sees we were betrayed because we don't live betrayed. Why? Because we're free. Nobody owes me a thing. When we're done wrong, we ain't living done wrong. We ain't telling everybody the story and asking for prayer. Come on, our hearts aren't hard. Our hearts are free because we're forgiven. We forgive because we've obtained mercy. We're merciful because we've been loved. Oh, how we love. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read one scripture, and I'll let Pastor close. If you would, with me, if you could stand to your feet. I'm going to read this scripture in closing out this weekend with you guys, and I'm honored to be here. I actually love this house. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed being here. How you guys and your unity, your heart, your servanthood has ministered to me this weekend. They had me crying in the foyer, didn't they? I couldn't even remember scripture. I was so messed up. I said, this is bad. I was crying. I went to quote a scripture and I went blank. I was like, that never happens. I can quote scripture in my sleep. The reason I ask you to stand up, I want to read something over you, and I want it to be our prayer. And I'm going to ask you as we're standing if you would just submit your heart to it as I read it. And just in your heart, God knows your heart. God knows your yes. But just so your own conscience hears it and you know it, just kind of mark this day and say, you know what? I'm strengthening my yes today. And I'm going to just say yes to what I hear Pastor reading as he reads it. So I'm going to read it to you, okay? It's Colossians 3. It's very powerful. I'm just believing we're going to walk in this, that God's doing such a good thing here, and it's going to keep happening, and it's going to come to fruition. And one day we're just going to be glad we were a part of it, and we're glad we ran with him. Amen? Yes. There ain't no looking back. Y'all know that? Yes. We put our hand to the plow. Amen. He who looks back, he ain't even fit for what he stepped into. You got to put your hand to the plow and never look back. You got the present. You got things to come. Your life's a gift, not a grind. Don't lie to one another, since you've put off the old man and his deeds, and you've put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and he's in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive. But above all these things, put on love. It's the bond of perfection.